And I hope you have a blessed one and a safe one. Let us begin worship with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning as we come to you with very thankful hearts. We remember those, Lord, who have given their lives in the service of this country, this great nation that you have given us. We thank you for all those families who have endured so much, both men and women who have lost their lives. We thank you, Lord, that for their bravery, for their sacrifice. And as we remember those, may this weekend be more than just the start of a summer. May it be more than a 3-day weekend. May it be more than just a vacation time. We pray, Lord, that this truly will be a memorial time when we remember the sacrifice of these brave men and women who have given their all. We pray, Lord, that people will remember the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as he died for us. Lord, we ask your blessings upon this service. May it unite us as one. In Christ's name we pray, amen. This morning we will have Jacob and our praise singers. And then after they get through, we're going to have a special song and we look forward to that one. And it's, you'll get the true meaning of it when it's played.
The cross, Lord, thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for this love, Lord. Thank you for the nail pierced hands. Wash me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know, your forgiveness I embrace. Worthy is the Lamb seated on the throne. Crown you now with many crowns. You reign victorious. I am lifted up, Jesus, Son of God. The treasures of heaven crucified. you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for this love, Lord. Thank you for the nail-pierced hands. Wash me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know, your forgiveness I embrace. Worthy is the Lamb seated on the throne, crowned now with many crowns. You reign victorious. I am lifted up, Jesus, Son of God, the treasures of heaven crucified. Worthy is the
I want to thank our praise singers for adding to our worship experience for these last 5 or 6 weeks. We're so grateful they have, and also our piano player, they have sacrificed so we could have beautiful music. This next song, I think we will all recognize it. Fella that used to be with Mike's group, Gene Dawson, sings it, and just does a tremendous job with it, and we're blessed to have it this morning. What's the name of it, Mike?
Land of the Free.
Land of the Free. You want to play? Or do you want me to play?
Come from every nation, leaving pain and poverty. We sail across the oceans for the opportunity to find the land of promise, to make it on our own, to live a life where hope can have a home. We stand for the land of the free. We lift up our hands in liberty. We pledge allegiance to the United States of America. And for the land of the free. They leave friends and family to pay the highest price. They battle for our country with honor and with pride. They face the fight for freedom until the victory's won. And when they rise for everyone. They stand for the land of the free. they lift up their hands in liberty. They pledge allegiance to the United States of America. They stand for the land of the free. You may disagree with what I've said. Turn your back and shake your head. With one last word you say you are ashamed. Well, that's all right, make no mistake. That's what makes my country great. And I still have the right to stake my claim. I stand for the land of the free. I pledge allegiance to the United States of America. I stand for the land of the free. I pledge allegiance to the United States of America. I stand for the land of the free. The free.
We're very grateful for all the music and the singing that we've enjoyed this morning. And thank Mike Aycock for that song and Jean. This morning we also need to remember in our thoughts and our prayers Miss Faye Bailey and her family as they mourn the loss of a son, a brother, husband. Bellman Bailey, who passed away and we'll know shortly what the arrangements are right now. They're meeting at 11 o'clock with the funeral home. So our thoughts and prayers are with the Bailey family. My sermon today is Memorial Day, Hopeful Memory. The scripture selection comes to us from Joshua chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. Joshua chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. And this is about the memorial stones. May we hear the word of the Lord. Joshua chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. And it came to pass when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe, and command them, saying, take for yourselves 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priests' feet stood firm. You shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe. And Joshua said to them, cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan. And each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over Jordan, the river of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial to the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so, just as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones from the midst of the Jordan, as the Lord had spoken to Joshua, according to the number of tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them to the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. Verse 9, then Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priest who bore the ark of the covenant stood. And they are there to this day. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this reading. It is about memory, a memorial to you, our Lord and Savior. And God, may we remember this day all those soldiers and sailors, Marines, airmen who have lost their lives in defense of this country. We pray for their families. We pray, Lord, that this reading of your holy word will bless us always. In Christ's name we pray, amen. In the latter years of his life, the great 19th century American philosopher Ralph Waldo Emerson suffered from an increasingly faulty memory. Now we know there's a name for it. But back when he was living, they didn't have a name for this disease. When things would slip his mind, he complained of his faulty and naughty memory, as he called it. Sometimes Emerson would forget the names of different objects. He couldn't remember the word plow. He couldn't remember the word cow. Today we call this type of memory Alzheimer's disease. Back then, they didn't know what to call it. At the funeral of his friend, the poet Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, Ralph Waldo Emerson commented to another person, that gentleman had a very sweet, beautiful soul. He was very smart. I enjoyed spending time with him, but I have entirely forgotten his name. The loss of memory is a sad, sad thing. It cuts us off from the days gone by. It strips away the treasured residue of past experiences. It eases our personal, or erases our personal history. And it leaves us unaccountably blank pages in our memory. Here we are on Memorial Day, and we're trying to remember all those who have lost their lives before in wars, beginning with the very first war on this continent. And it continues to today. On this occasion, we're called upon to remember and respect those who have died, those whose days are gone. It is no surprise to us that many people do not reflect upon this, the past, during this holiday. Most people think of it as, spoke earlier about it, as a three-day weekend. They think of it as the start of summer vacation. And that is true. But the reason for this Memorial Day and this special weekend is about paying tribute to those brave men and women who sacrificed their lives so we could have freedom. And we can enjoy the lives that we have today. My purpose is not to advocate for a renewed practice on Memorial Day. This holiday is not expressly religious. It is secular. Nevertheless, it can serve to promote the value that is elevated throughout the Scripture. That value being the importance of remembrance. And I dare say each of us in here could remember at least one or two who have died in the service of our country. You see, a failure of memory is not just something which leads to personal inconvenience or social embarrassment. It is also a spiritual danger. A failure of memory and those things which are most significant, and the results, sometimes it can lead to a failure of faith. Forgetfulness erodes the foundation of our relationship with God. A quick scanning of the biblical documents made apparent the importance placed upon remembering. Throughout the Scriptures, we find references to the monuments, memorial feasts, and ritual repeated happenings of this weekend. There will be a large tribute to the Lincoln Memorial. There'll be a large tribute tomorrow at the Washington Monument. There will be a great tribute for the soldiers fallen in the National Cemetery in Washington, D.C. And all the flags have been put out. And we praise the good Lord for these men and women. The Old Testament text, Joshua 4, verses 1 through 9, stands as one example of the practice of remembering. The biblical narrative which leads up to this text tells a story of the Israelites' long-awaited entry into the promised land. After 40 years of wilderness wandering, the people finally reached their destination, and the swollen Jordan River blocked their way into the land. But they did not stop. And when the priests were carrying the Ark of the Covenant, began to place their feet in the water ceased flowing. And the people crossed over on dry land, just as their forebears had done when they escaped the Egyptians. And when they all finished passing over the Jordan River, the leader of Israel, Joshua himself at this time, had a simple monument built to commemorate the wondrous event. This served to remind the people that their progress, indeed their very existence, was in the hands of the living God. Our very existence today, as Christians, is in the hands of the living Lord. The Passover feast, which Moses instituted, was to serve a similar purpose. It was to remind the people that it was God and not them, not they themselves, who brought about the liberation from slavery in Egypt. With pounding insistence, the call to remember is repeated throughout the scripture. Remember that God called your father Abraham in his old age and promised him many children. Remember that you were in bondage in a foreign land and were freed by divine power. Remember that God brought Israel to greatness, though she was very weak. Remember the commands of the Lord. The psalmist summed it up in the message very well when he wrote in Psalm 105, verse 5, remember the wonderful works that God has done, God's great deed, and the judgments the Lord utters. O offspring of Abraham, God's servant. Those who forgot the past, or maybe those who are forgetting it today, fall into thankfulness, thanklessness. It is unlikely that we will do any better if we don't remember the past. If we forget the value of our heritage and the source of our blessings, it will become very easy for us to take for granted all that we have and all that we are. It will be very easy for us to begin believing that we can make our own way, that we control our own destiny with the blindness of pride that people have today. We will very likely begin trusting in our own wisdom, our own power, rather than look back, remember, and then look forward to God for His guidance and thank our mighty Maker. I suppose that every culture and every country has its memorials. The best memorials lift up our sights above the mundane affairs of the moment in order to focus our attention upon the highest aspirations and accomplishments of those who have preceded us. As I said earlier, we have a monument for Abraham Lincoln. We have a monument for Washington. It is natural to begin meditating upon the impressive deeds and the high values of these forebears. Visits to such places can help stimulate us to embrace more noble and exalted goals for ourselves. But sometimes memorials can serve less honorable purposes. Not only do memorials call attention to the best of the past, they also can be used to cover up the worst. An impressive monument can bestow dignity upon a dubious endeavor or questionable person of days gone by. Such memorials do no service to the truth, for they hide unflattering facts. At times, a memorial itself can be greater than the person who it's supposed to honor. For instance, Michelangelo did a sculpture for the tomb of Pope Julius II. It's a magnificent creation. But the Pope who this was supposed to pay tribute to was pretty much a scoundrel. But we don't want memorials to highlight the dark side of the past with all of its atrocities and treacheries. We prefer our memorials to comfort and reassure us rather than to warn us or to disturb our complacency. Sometimes dwelling on the past is a means of escaping the problems of the present and the disturbing prospects of the future. Sometimes we are tempted to glorify days gone by. I suppose we all know people who seem to continually talk about great things that used to be. Life was simpler. Friendships were closer, motives were more pure, morals were higher. It's called the Golden Age Syndrome. For some people, the Golden Age was the 1920s. For others, it was the 1950s or the 60s. No matter what our favorite period may be, the problem with looking back to a golden age is that we distort the past. And we come to believe that the best days of life have already gone by. Everything else that follows is anticlimactic. Consequently, some people who are disappointed with the present and distressed over the future tend to live in the past. Their memories are highly important to them, but they don't have hopeful memories for the future. In 1969, Clarence Jordan died of a heart attack. As some of you may know, Jordan was the author of Cotton Patch Version of the Bible and was the founder of Cornonia Farms, an interracial community, and an innovative ministry, and this was in rural Georgia. When he died, the local coroners, the undertakers were of little help to the family. He was buried in a plain cedar box on a hillside on his farm. Millard Fuller, the founder of Habitat for Humanity, officiated at the funeral. Just after the casket was lowered into the ground and the grave was filled, something unexpected happened. Mr. Fuller's 2-year-old granddaughter stepped up to the grave and began to sing the only song that this little girl knew. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Mr. Clarence. Happy birthday to you. That may be a strange song, but think how truly appropriate. For when a Christian dies, it's a birthday of sorts, because death is not an ending, but it's a new beginning. And so when we think of our dead, especially those that sacrificed all, let us do so with hopeful memories, for our amazing future still awaits us. It awaits them as well, and the rest of us will follow. We praise the good Lord for our brave men and women on this Memorial Day weekend. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, as we remember days gone by. We remember those that were in the military with us that did not come back to be with their families, that they were sacrificed in a foreign land. Lord, we praise you for their sacrifice. We thank you for the brave men and women who are serving today. We pray for their families too. Lord, we ask your divine guidance from this day forward. And may we always remember your great sacrifice. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.